We're on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and let's give a little bit of an introduction to what we're about to learn. The Gemara brings a Mishnah, and we're going to find out in this Mishnah that according to Rabbi Akiva, Zrika and Shficha are two separate entities. And if you do a Shficha with one carbon that really was designated for a Zrika or vice versa, then he was not Yotze the Mitzvah. Because Shficha is not Bechlal Zrika, and Zrika is not Bechlal Shficha. So let's talk for a moment about Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, the Torah says in Parshas Bo, Shmos Yud Beis, V'ochlus ha-bosa v'layla hazeh, there's a mitzvah say to eat the bosa of Korban Pesach on the night of the 15th of Nisan. And the B'nei Chabura, if they were manyfold, there were too many of them, they wouldn't be able to satiate themselves from the Psar Korban Pesach. There just wasn't enough meat to go around to supply for all the B'nei HaChabura. They would be makriv, a carbon shlomit, which is called Chagigas Arbasar. And they would eat it at night, before the Korban Pesach. And then they were almost full, and they would be able to eat Pesach ala sova. They didn't need that much Pesach in order to reach that stage of ala sova, because they were already partially full by eating from the Chagigas Arbasar. Now both the Basar Pesach, as well as the Basar Chagiga, require a bracha before their achila. Kederech shemavarchem al kol ha-mitzvahs, every mitzvah requires a bracha, birchas ha-mitzvah. And in addition to the birchas ha-nenim, there's a birchas ha-mitzvah. And now the question arises, and that's what the Mishnah is going to address, at the end of Masechta Pesachim, can one bracha cover both mitzvahs? Or should there be two separate brachas? One bracha would be Asher Kidshonu Mitzvos Tzivonu Lechol HaPesach, and another bracha on the Chagiga, Asher Kidshonu Mitzvos Tzivonu Lechol HaZevach. That latter bracha is a general bracha for all of Achilas Kodshim, which is a mitzvah say, whether it's Kodshim Kalim or Kodshi Kodshim, in the case of Kodshi Kodshim Kohanim, in the case of Kodshim Kalim Yisraelim. And this is derived from a pasuk at the end of Shmos, V'ochlo osom asher kupar b'hem. And the Ramban in his Hasogas on Sefer HaMitzvos makes a big deal about the Rambam, who seems to have omitted in his counting of Taryag the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. Disnan, the Mishnah says the following, Birech birchas ha-pesach, potar es shel zevach, or shel zevach lo potar es ha-pesach. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds that the bracha that's recited on Achilas ha-pesach can cover the chagiga. Again, you have to figure out in under what circumstances he would have eaten the chagiga after the Korban Pesach, since the Korban Pesach is eaten at the end of the meal, ala sova, and ein maftir nachar pesach afikom, and we want tam pesach befiv. But perhaps they began with achilas ha-pesach, they ate a small amount of the pesach, and then they would eat the chagiga of arbasar, and then finish up with achilas ha-pesach at the very end, in order that there would be tam pesach befiv. And now, Rabbi Shmuel, in our Mishnah that we're studying now, tells us that there's no need for a separate bracha on the chagiga. Rabbi Akiva disagrees on lo zu poter zu, v'lo zu poter zu. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree that the bracha on the zevach is not going to cover the mitzvah achilas ha-pesach, asher kidshonu mitzvos tzivonu lechol ha-pesach, because a zevach is certainly not pesach. Zevach refers to the general all-inclusive category of karbonos. It could very well be that the bracha on the Pesach could cover the Chagiga insofar as Pesach is one representative of Kodshim. And the Gemara in Pesachim Adaf Ayin quotes the sheet of Rav Darshan's from the Pasuk, Vizavachta Pesach Lashem Elkecha Tzon Ubakar. Tzon ze Pesach, Bakar ze Chagiga. So when the Torah says Vizavachta Pesach, it includes both Pesach and Chagiga. In other words, the Torah itself calls Chagiga Pesach, because in this pasuk it says Vizavachta Pesach, and it's referring to the Chagiga. And that's why the Birchas HaPesach, according to Rabbi Shmuel, could also include within it the Chagiga itself. Rabbi Akiva, however, disagrees. He sees two separate mitzvahs here, and each one requires its own bracha. The bracha on the Zevach could not in any way potter up the bracha on Pesach, and that's fine. Even Rabbi Shmuel would agree to that. So you need, without a doubt, a separate bracha on the Pesach. But Rabbi Akiva goes one step further, and he says the bracha on the Pesach cannot replace the bracha on the Zevach. Ein ha-Pesach, birchas ha-Pesach, poteres es, birchas ha-Zevach. And the Gemara understands that the root of this machlokes is the issue of Zrika and Shvicha. Is Zrika considered b'chlal Shvicha and the other way around? Rabbi Shmuel holds that Zrika b'chlal Shvicha, which means that those karbonos that require a Zrika, if he does a Shvicha instead, he was Yotze. And therefore Pesach, which requires Shvicha, would be poter, the bracha on the Zevach, which is, again, the Zevach requires Zrika, because Shvicha b'chlal Zrika. Now, the fact that Pesach requires Shvicha is going to be clarified a little bit later on when Rabbi Shmuel derives the matandom of Pesach from the pasuk v'dams v'checha yishafech, and the word yishafech is a reference here to Shvicha with regard to Korban Pesach. And the Gemara later on is going to ask, since Rabbi Shmuel derives from the pasuk v'dams v'checha yishafech the conclusion that Pesach requires Shvicha, then how can you tell me that even something which is nitonim bezrika, other karbonos that require zrika, if he does shvicha, he was yotze? That's going to be a problem. Exactly how Rabbi Shmuel answers the logic of that question. But the bottom line is that according to Rabbi Shmuel, in a case of a karbon that requires zrika, shvicha would do, and that's why the bracha on the Pesach could cover the Zevach as well, meaning the Chagiga of Yudalit. Because even though the Chagiga of Yudalit requires Zrika, whereas Pesach requires Shvicha, nevertheless, Zrika b'chlal Shvicha. Now, in the flip side, would Shvicha be b'chlal Zrika? So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel wants to know whether the bracha on the Zevach, which is on the Zevach of Zrika, would pater up the Pesach, which requires Shvicha. And here we're going to apply the principle of Ein Shvicha Bechlal Zrika, that Shvicha is a separate entity unto itself. So where Shvicha sort of swallows up Zrika within it, but the other way around is not true. And in the case of Korban Pesach, we need a matan damim of Shvicha. And therefore it wouldn't be niftar, you wouldn't fulfill your mitzvah of Shvicha's dama Pesach if you did a zrika. And therefore the bracha on the Zevach could not possibly cover the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva holds that it works in both directions, separating Shvicha and zrika. Shvicha is not bechlal zrika, which we've already seen in Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Akiva takes it one step further and he says, Zrika eina bichlal shvicha, and therefore the bracha on the Pesach could not pater up the bracha on Chagiga, which is a karma that requires Zrika. So we see clearly from this Mishnah that the way the Gemara understands it, Rabbi Akiva holds ein Zrika bichlal shvicha, and the Tana that we've been studying holds like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore he doesn't need the pasuk of Zdam Zvachecha Yishafech to derive that all Zvachim, that if you did a Shvicha instead of Zrika, you would be Yotze, because according to Rabbi Akiva, in fact, if you did a Shvicha instead of Zrika, you'd not be Yotze. So he's not using this pasuk of Vidam Zvachecha Yishafech in order to establish that Zrika is Bechal Shvicha, and therefore that pasuk becomes free for what we saw in the Tana earlier in yesterday's Shia, that one matan damim is enough to be machshir the karbon, even if the other matanas are not given, and that we derive from the absence of the word saviv. The Gemara now goes back to ask a question on the Braisa, that the Braisa derives from Adam Zvachech Yishofech, that one matana is sufficient to be machshir the karbon. Akati lohachi diyasa. Isn't it true that we need the pasuk v'dam zvachecha yishofech to teach me something else, another din? Halomi boilel chedesanyev with the braisa, and the braisa is going to derive from this pasuk a halacha that's relevant to three other karbonos, and that's bechor, maser, and pesach. Rabbi Shmuel omer mitoch shenemar, from the fact that the Torah says in Bamidbar Yudches, in the parasha of Bechor, it says, Ach, Bechor, Shor, O Bechor, Kesef, O Bechor, Eis, Es Domam, Tizrok, Alam, Izbech, Ves Chelvam, Takhtir, Ishei, Rech, Nichoch, Hashem. Lamadnu, we derive from this posuk, Livchor, Shetoin, Matan, Dom, Veimurim, Lagabi, Mizbech, Maisev, Pesach. And also we're going to derive Maisim and Pesach. Let's go over the last point. Lamadnu lebechor sheton matan domim ve'murim legabi mizbeach. So we know from this pasuk, because the pasuk is addressing bechor explicitly, and it says, as domim tizrok al mizbeach, so it needs matan domim, ve'schelgum taktir, that's emurim. And again, you know, when we talk about emurim, we've mentioned in the past that the word imurim might come from the Lashon of Amira, meaning these are the things that the Torah spoke about and told us to be makter on the Mizbeach. And there are other interpretations of the word imurim and its semantics. But now we go on. Maisev Pesach, the Torah doesn't say explicitly matan domim and aktaras imurim, inayin, how do we know? Talmud Lomar, says Rabbi Shmuel, we derive from Vidam Zvachech Yishofech, which implies that all Zvachim require Nisinas Domim, and that would include also Maiser Behema and Karban Pesach. But once we need this Pasuk to derive Matan Domim and Aktar Simurim in these cases of Maser and Pesach, we no longer can use that Pasuk to teach us that it's sufficient to be machshir the carbon with one matana. So Gemara answers that the Tana the Braisa that derives from Vidam Zvachech Yishofech, that one matana is sufficient, he doesn't need the pasuk to teach us matan domin and maiser behem and carbon pesach to sovelok Rabbi Yosi Aglili, because he holds that there's another source for this halacha of matan domin in these two carbonos. He doesn't need the pasuk damish zvachech yishofech desanya. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, the pasuk says, Ach bechor shar, O bechor kesev, O bechor eiz, es domim tizuk al zbev reschelvum taktir, domo lo nemar. It doesn't say domo in Lashon Yachid, in the singular, but rather it says domam, el domam, which is plural. And also it doesn't say chelbo in the singular, but rather it says chelbam in the plural. It means that the pasuk is not referring to bechor exclusively, because that would justify only a singular language. So when it says, instead of es domo in singular, ves chelbo in singular, it says domam and chelbam, it's coming to tell us a ribui for other karbonos beyond bechor. And limed al bechor maser v'pesach sheton matan domim ve'murim l'gabi mizbeach. So now we already freed up the pasuk Dams v'chech yishafech to derive the conclusion that we want to derive, that matana achas b'karban kasher. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, this pasuk, which officially is talking about bechar, is not limited to bechar, because the damam and the chelvim indicate that it's talking about other karbanos as well. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi Haglil derives matan damim in the cases of maser and pesach from damam, from the plural of the word damam. But it comes out now that the word tizrok here in this pasuk is referring to zrikas dam for karban pesach. And that now undermines the halach that we spoke about earlier, that karban pesach needs shficha. So according to what the Gemara is saying now, that the Tana the Braisa holds like Rabbi Yossi Haglili, then according to the Braisa, there's nothing that has shvicha. And yet the Gemara earlier mentioned that the Braisa reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who holds lo zrika b'chal shvicha, lo shvicha b'chal zrika. So you're going to have to assume that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that the Tana the Braisa holds like Rabbi Akiva with regard to zrika eina b'chal shvicha, because if the Braisa reflects the shita of Yossi Haglili, then there is no such thing as a karbon that has a din shvicha. But rather the Braisa holds like Rabbi Akiva as far as the fact that we don't derive from the pasuk v'dam zvachech yishafech that hanisonim b'zrika shenosam b'shficha kosher, because to that extent we accept, the Braisa accepts the shita of Rabbi Akiva, that if you need zrika, you need zrika, and you can't substitute shvicha for zrika, and therefore we don't have the pasuk of dam zvachech yishafech to teach me that you can interchange zrika and shvicha, but rather we can use it to teach us that one matana is machaper and generates and clinches the kaparas hakarban. Now the Gemara asks a question on Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael uses v'dam zvachech yishafech to teach us that dam pesach is b'shficha. So if that be the case, Rabbi Yishmael, haikra, this pasuk of the dam zvachech yishafek is mapik le lahachi, can he darshan two things from the same pasuk? Number one, that dam pesach needs shvicha. Number two, that those karbonos that require zrika, if he does shvicha, then he's yotze. If the pasuk is telling me something about Pesach, then how could it tell me something about all karbanos? So again, let's just clarify. The Braisa derives from the pasuk v'dam zvachech yishafech that any dam that requires zrika, if he did shvicha, he was yotze. That could not be a reflection of Rabbi Akiva's shita. Rabbi Akiva holds that any dam that requires nesina, it requires nesina, and that's it, period. Shvicha would not be yotze. And if shlomim, for example, we say that shlomim is b'chal pesachem, which means that if you hold like this braisa, that shvicha could replace zrika, then in the case of shlomim, he could be yotze yidei chovaso with shvicha like Pesach. So if that be the case, why does he tell us that birchas ha-Pesach could not substitute for the brach on the zevach? And therefore we're forced to assume that this braisa holds that any dam that's nitan b'shvicha is yotze, and that would be Rabbi Shmuel. So if that be the case, how does Rabbi Yishmael know to derive two drushes from the same pasuk? So let's again review. This braisa, the darshins from the pasuk of Adam Zvachech Yishafech, that the Nitana Bezrika, you could be Yotze B'Shvicha, that couldn't be Rabbi Akiva. Because again, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Nitanim v'shvicha requires shvicha, Nitanim v'zrika requires zrika. And therefore, that brisa that derives that nitana bezrika, you could be yotze with shvicha, must be like Rabbi Yishmael. And again, this is going to have an impact on the machlokas about whether birchas ha-pesach could pater up the zevach, meaning the chagig of Yudalit. Rabbi Akiva holds that since shvicha and zrika are two separate entities, they cannot substitute one for the other. Therefore, the bracha of pesach, which is a bracha on a mitzvah of shvicha, could not in any way pater you up, could not cover the birchas ha-zevach of the shlomim of chagiga. On the other hand, if you go like Rabbi Shmuel would hold that Birchas HaPesach patters up the Zevach, and that's because he holds that Nitonim Bezrika, you could be Yotze with Shvicha. In this case of the Zevach, we're talking about a Chagiga, which is Karban Shlomim, and therefore the sort of like the din of Shlomim applies within the greater context of Pesach, and therefore it makes sense that you could be Yotze in the case of Zricha, of Zevach, meaning Chagiga, with Shvicha, just like Korban Pesach. So the Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Birchas HaPesach could not possibly pater the Zevach, he's assuming, Rabbi Akiva, that the Zevach requires Nesina, the Pesach requires Shvicha, and these two are not interchangeable. The brisa that, on the other hand, derives from Vidam Zvachech Yishofech, that a Nitan Lizrika could be Yotze with Shvicha, that could not be the Shita Rabbi Akiva, it would have to be the Shita Rabbi Shmuel. But then we have a question, because then we're using the Pasuk for two things. We're using the Pasuk for Nesinas Dam and Haktoras Haimurim in the cases of Maser and Pesach. That's derived from Vedam Zvochech Yishofer. But at the same time, Rabbi Shmuel is going to have to darsh him from that Pasuk that Hanitonim Bezrika is Yotze B'Shvicha. How can he derive two things from the same Pasuk? And the Gemara answers, Tanoi Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. There are two brises that were transmitted by two different Tanoim. Each one had a different girsa, a different tradition regarding the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana that derives from the Pasuk, B'dam Zvachech Yishofech, that Dam Pesach requires Shvicha, he's not going to darshan that Hanitonim B'Zrika, you could be Yotze with Shvicha. So according to this Mahalach, Rabbi Shmuel, never was of the opinion that Birchas HaPesach patters up a Zevach, meaning the Zevach as a Korban Shlom requires Zrika, and according to this particular tradition in Rabbi Shmuel, the Pasuk of Adam Zvachech Yishofech is singling out the Korban Pesach for Shvicha, so therefore he doesn't have this Pasuk to Darshan that if something requires Zrika, you could be Yotze with Shvicha. That's not so. And from that perspective, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva. And he's therefore going to hold that Birchas HaPesach ain't a poteres eshel zevach. On the other hand, the Mishnah in Psochim, at the end of Psochim, which we saw, the Tana, that Mishnah, holds that Rabbi Shmuel argues with Rabbi Akiva, and Birchas HaPesach patters up the zevach. He's not going to darshan from Dam Zvachech Yishofech that Pesach is singled out for Shvicha. He's going to have to hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili that there is no Karban that requires Shvicha, but Dam Pesach, Dino Bezrika, Kishlomim. And the Pasuk of Dam Zvachech Yishofech is going to teach me that when you have something that's Nitan Lizrika and you use Shvicha, you're Yotze. So that again, there's no carbon that requires Shvicha, but if on the other hand you substituted Shvicha for Zrika, then you're Yotze, and that's going to be derived from this Pasuk V'dam Zvachech Yishofech. And in that sense, Rabbi Akiva, according to this tradition, would hold that the bracha on Pesach could cover the chagiga as well, because even though the chagiga needs zrika, we derive from this pasuk v'dam yishfecha shivcha that shficha would substitute for zrika. But again, this tradition in the second girsa, which is the Mishnah at the end of Pesachim, is not going to agree that v'dam zvachech yishofech is the source for shficha in Pesach, because no korban requires Pesach. And furthermore, if the dam of Pesach were b'shficha, it would mean that shficha and zrika are two separate entities, and therefore you would not be yotze zrika through shficha, and the bracha on the Pesach would not cover the zevach. So therefore we have to assume that there are two traditions in Rabbi Shmuel. Now, if we get back for one moment to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he derives the din of Matan Domim and Akhtar Simurim and Maisim Pesach from the Pasuk V'dam Zvachech Yishofech. So the Gemara says the following, Bishlema L'Rabbi Yishmol D'mukum L'Kule B'Bechar. Rabbi Akiva holds that this Pasuk of Ach Bechar Shar O Bechar Kesef O Bechar Eis is referring to Bechar, exclusively to Bechar. And then when the Pasuk says Domam and Chelbam, it means that since the Pasuk has three types of Bechar, it's got Shar, Kesev, and Eiz, that's why Hainu Dechsevu Besaram in plural Yelecha. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Mukim Leinami V'Maiseru Pesach, that the Torah is telling you in Maiser and Pesach that there is Zrikas Domim and Akhtar Seimurim, and therefore Maiser and Korban Pesach jack up the Loshen Yochid to Loshen Rabim. So Gemara now asks the following question, is Maiser u Pesach Ba'olim Achlile? And therefore, what does the Pasuk mean when it says Ubisaram Yeloch, Loch B'Loshen Rabim? In other words, since Ba'olim Achlile, the Ba'olim of the Korban, they're the ones who eat it, it's not a matana to the Kohen, so what does it mean, Ubisaram Yeloch? In other words, Pashtus Bisaram Yeloch is referring to the Kohen, that we should give the Basar to the Kohen, because again, the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is talking about Bechar. And not only that, when it comes to Bechar, it's Yeloch. Loch is referring to Bisaram. Loch means the Kohen gets the Bisaram. And we have to give Bisaram to the Basar Kohen, which would make sense if we assume that Besaram was referring to three types of Basar in the case of Bechor, but if it refers to the other Karbonos, namely Maser and Pesach is eaten by the Bailim. So the Gemara answers that Besaram Yeloch, in Lashon Rabbim, Besaram, is referring to two types of Bechoros, Echad Tam v'Echad Balmum. That there's a Bechor which is Tam, there's a Bechor that's Balmum. And the Pasuk that says, Ach Bechor Shor, and etc., which is written B'Loshen Rabim, is because we're not talking about one Bechor, we're talking about Maser and Pesach as well. The Pasuk of Besarim Yelech, on the other hand, is talking about giving the Basar to the Kohen, and the Loshen Rabim is because there are two categories of Bechor. What are the two categories of Bechor? Limed al Bechor shuhu balmum, shenitan lekohen. That even if the Bechor is a balmum, nevertheless, you have to give the Bechor over to the Kohen. Shalom atzino lo Bechor tarkula. We have no other limud to teach us that a Bechor balmum has to be given as vatnas kuhuna, except for this pasuk. And now the Gemara is going to clarify, from where does Rabbi Shmuel derive the conclusion that a Bechor Balmum is given to the Kohen? And the Gemara is going to clarify Rabbi Shmuel, who interprets who Besarim Yelecha, that it says in the Loshen Rabim, and it's referring to three categories of Bechor, whether it's Shar, Kesef, or Eiz. It's not coming, therefore, to be marbe balmum. So whence, from whence do we derive the Bechor Balmum that it's included in Matnas Kahuna? It has to be delivered, it has to be given to the Kohen. Nafkale mi lecha yia de sefet. In the end of the Pasuk, after it says Besar yia lach, it says kachaze atnufa ukesho kayamin lecha yia. And the words lecha yia at the end of the Pasuk come to be marba a Bechor Balmum, that it's nitan lekohen. Now, we're going to talk a little about a different parsha, and then we're going to come to Rabbi Yossi Aglili in Bechor. We're going to talk about the parsha in Vayikra Chav Zayin, and that's the parsha of Tmura. Tmura means you have two animals in front of you. One is a behemas kodshim, the other is a behemas chulin, and he makes a declaration regarding the behemas chulin that it should be tachas, it should replace the karma. Now, he's trying to transfer the kedusha from the behemas kodshim over to the behemas chulin, and the Torah says he can't do that. He's not allowed to do that. He violates a law. But in addition, if he went and he did it, then the behemas chulin becomes behemas kodshim. In that sense, he was successful, but the behemas kodshim remains behemas kodshim. So he can't transfer the kedusha. What he can do is kind of clone the kedusha, if you follow what I mean. So now, both animals have the exact same din of the kedushas karban. It depends what the karban is, but whatever the karban was, that kedusha now is grafted, or cloned, if you will, onto the behemas chulin. So that's the parsha of Tmura, and therefore you're required to be makriv the what was before he did the Tmura behemas chulin, now it became a behemas hegdish. You have to be makriv it on the mizbeach. And the language of the pasuk is lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oso. He's not allowed to do this kind of thing. V'im hamer yamir behema v'behema is v'hoya hu utmuraso yekodesh. So both he and the original carbon are both kodesh. Okay. Now, what happens in a case of a behemas bechor? So you have this animal, it's the firstborn to its mother. It has kedushas bechor. And now, he wants to take a behemas chulin, and he wants to transfer, again in his mind, he thinks he can transfer the kedusha from the bechor onto this behemas chulin. That for sure he can't do. But can he do a tmura? Again, when I say can, it's a violation of Anisa Doraisa, but would the act of tmura be meaningful and valid in order to attach a kedushas bechor on the tmura? So again, he's asa tmura v'behemas bechor, and the din is the following. Very interesting. This is what I call the compromise shita. The kedushas bechor will actually be chal on the behemas chulin. So in that sense, the tmura was effective. But we're not allowed to be makriv that tmura, which is a tmuras bechor, on the mizbeach. So what do you do with an animal that now has kedushas bechor? It's got a din of kodshim, but you're not allowed to bring it on the mizbeach. It's a very, a sensitive kind of situation. So here we apply the principle called roim osa ad shi yistayev, meaning we let it graze in the grass or wherever it is, the grazing area, until ad shi yipol bo mum, until it will have a mum, a blemish, and then necheles lekohanim, and then you give it as a gift to the kohanim. That's called the bechor bal mum. A Bechor Bal Mum in general is given to a Kohen as Matnas Kuna, but here we're talking about a Tmuras Bechor, and the only thing you could do with it is give it to a Kohen after it has a Mum. And this is derived in the Gemara in Tmura from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, and this was the Pasuk in Bechor that we were studying here on this daf. And it says in the Pasuk, Kodesh Hem. Where is this Pasuk? Here it says, Ach Bechor Shar, O Bechor Kesev, O Bechor Eiz. And then afterwards it says in that Pasuk, lo tifte kodesh hem. And these words, kodesh hem, the Gemara says, are extra. And it's telling you, hem, that's what we call a mute, that only the bechor is going to be brought on the Mizbeach, to the exclusion of Tmura. The Tmura of a bechor, although it does have Kedushas bechor, it's not Nikrav al Gabi Mizbeach. And a similar halach applies in Meiser and in Pesach. Let's say you have a Meiser Behem in front of you, and you have a Behemas Chulin, and you say that this should be Tmura that. It's going to get the Kedushas Maaser, but it's not going to be brought on the Mizbeach. We're going to have to wait till it gets a Mum and give it to the Kohen. Same thing applies to Tmuras Pesach. You have a Korban Pesach here, and a Behemas Chulin, and if you point to the Behemas Chulin and you say, Arezu Tmura Zu, then even though the Kedushas Korban is Chal on the Tmura, but the Tmura is not brought on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara now wants to analyze, what's the source for this? How do we know that in the cases of Tmuras Maaser and Tmuras Pesach, Eino Kreva, you're not going to be bringing it on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, Bishleima le Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that pasuk that we're dealing with in Sefer Bamidbar is not just referring to Bechor, but Mukile Nami v'Maaser u'Pesach. That when it says Bechor, Shor, etc., etc., since it says Damam in the plural and Chelbam in the plural, it's referring to other Korbanos beyond Bechor, and that is Maiser u'Pesach, to teach us that these Korbanos need Matan Damim on the Mizbeach, plus Haktoras HaImurim on the Mizbeach, is then when the Pasuk says Ki Kodesh Hem, then Hainu Dixiv Lo Tifta Ki Kodesh Hem, and from this we can derive the conclusion that Tmuras Maaser and Tmuras Pesach Einom Kravim. Because although they're mentioned in this Pasuk, when the Pasuk says Kodesh Hem, Hem is a mute to exclude them, meaning Maaser and Pesach, from the din of Tmura as far as being Nikrav al Gamim Mizbeach. That's what the Gemara Dash and say, Hem Kravim, the aim Tmuraso, Tmuras and Kravim. Disnan, we have a Mishnah at the end of Tmura, it says, Tmuras Bechor u'Maaser, Hain uvladam uvlad vladam, in other words, all of the offspring that come from this Tmuras Bechor, Tmuras Maaser, and vlad vladam, which means the next generation of offspring, ad sof kol ha'olam, endlessly, harehem kibachar u'maaser. And we're talking about the a Tmura, right? Because that's the opening line in this Mishnah, Tmuras Bechor u'Maaser. In other words, even after there was an afilas mum, let's say this bechor, this again, this tmuras bechor, this tmuras maaser became blemished. Nevertheless, there's no pidyon. That's what the Torah means when it says ad sof ha'olam. That's what this Mishnah means. However, even though it's got a Kedusha, which is going to be transferred over to its children and its grandchildren on Olam, nevertheless, he can't be mocking them on the Mizbeach. And what we have to do is we have to wait till they get a Mum, and then Ye'ochlu b'mumam l'baylim. And then the Baylim could eat these Karbonos, meaning the Maaser and so forth and so on. The Baylim could eat it after it gets a Mum. So we see clearly that Tmuras Maaser is not Nikrav al Gabi Mizbeach. Oh. So now, the Gemara brings down that even with regard to Pesach, we also have a Mishnah that's going to teach us that Tmuras Pesach Eino Kreva. Usnan is a Mishnah in Psochim, Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamate, I heard from my Rebbeim, Sheyesh Tmuras Pesach, Kreva, that is brought on the Mizbeach, v'yesh tmuras pesach eino kreva, v'ein li lefarish. Notes, I remember this is what I received from my Rebbeim, but I don't know exactly which is which. Notes, when do we say that it is kreva, when do we say it's not kreva? That I'm not sure about. Now, let's just analyze this. If the tmura was done before the Pesach was nikrav, that would make sense, right? He's got a Korban Pesach in front of him. He hasn't yet shechted the Korban Pesach, and he says, Arezu tmura zu, is then the tmura is not kreva. And before the Akrovas HaPesach, where the Pesach is there, and it's Omed L'Shem Pesach, the Tmuras Pesach is certainly a Tmuras Pesach. And that's the din of Tmuras Pesach Eino Kreva. However, let's take a different case. Let's take a case where the Tmura happened after the Pesach was Nikrav. Now you'll ask me, if they already were Makriv the Korban Pesach, how can you have a Tmura? Tmura means when you have the two animals in front of you. So the case would have to be a kind of a Mosar Pesach case. What does that mean? Let's say he designated a certain lamb for the Pesach, and then the lamb got lost. So they took another replacement lamb, and they designated it for the Korban Pesach. After they were Makriv it, they found the first one. You know, somebody was Meshav Aveda. And in such a case, now you have a Kedushas Pesach, and he was Meimir this animal of Behemas Chulin onto this Pesach. In such a case, Tmurasa Kreva, we will bring the Tmura on the Mizbeach. Why? Because a Korban Pesach after the Zmana Pesach, meaning he already replaced this lost Pesach with a second one, so what happens to this Korban Pesach? It becomes Shlomim. That's the din of Mosar Pesach Shlomim. So in effect, when he says Harezu Tmura Zu, in this case of a Pesach that was lost and now found after they were makriv of a different Korban, then he's really essentially saying that this is a Tmura Shlomim. In any event, just to summarize, we learn from two Mishnayos that Tmuras Pesach and Tmuras Maser is Eina Kreva. And according to Rabbi Yosef Aglil, it's very much understood because the Pasuk says Kodesh Haim and not Tmura, to exclude Tmura. Elul, Rabbi Yishmael had a different pshat in our Pasuk of Bechor. According to Rabbi Yishmael, when the Torah says in Lashon Rabim, Damam and Chelbam, it doesn't come to include Pesach and Maser, but rather, this Pasuk is referring exclusively to Bechor. Aye, the Torah uses the plural, Damam v'chelbam. That's because the Torah wants to say that there are three different categories of Bechor. There's Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, and Bechor Eiz. So according to that Shita, which is Rabbi Shmuel, Demuki Lekule b'Bechor, he interprets the entire Pasuk as referring to Bechor, is Maser v'Pesach to lo kreva t'murasa minole. What's the source for this halacha that there's no hakrova in a tmuras maser, there's no hakrova in a tmuras pesach? You cannot quote this pasuk of Kodesh Haim because Kodesh Haim is only referring to Bechor. You cannot derive pesach and maser. So Gemara answers, maser gomar avora avora mi Bechor. We have a gzeirah shova, which Rabbi Yishmael is going to use, between Maser and Bechor. Why? Because the Lashon Avara appears twice in the Torah, once with regard to Bechor, and in Shmos Yud Gimel, in the parish of Bo, it says, Vavarta kol petarechem, and we find the word Avara in the parish of Maser, in Vayikra Chav Zayin, it says, kol asher yavar tachas hashevet. So we derive Maser from Bechor. Just like in the case of Bechor, ein tmurasa kreva, so to a maser ein tmurasa kreva. But Pesach, how do you know that in the case of tmuras Pesach eino kreva? So the Gemara says behedja kosav be. If you take a look in the parsha of Shlomim at the beginning of Vayikra, Per Gimel, the Torah says in kesev who makriv es karbono. And there's an extra word in this pasuk, im. It says im kesev. And it could have just said kesev umakriv. Why say im kesev? matam lomer im kesev leravos tmuras haPesach achar haPesach shetikariv shlomim. Okay, so we're talking now about a korban Pesach after Pesach, and he was meimir onto another korban, and the law is that it becomes shlomim because Pesach liachas mano is shlomim. Yochel, I might think, af lifnei haPesach, came, even when it's the Zman of Pesach, so it's before the Pesach, you're also going to tell me that if you say a Tmuras Pesach, it becomes Shlomim. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem. And the extra word Hu comes as a miyut to tell you that Pesach itself is Karev on the Mizbech, but Tmuras Pesach is Eino Krev. And this is going to be the source of Rabbi Shmuel, that Tmuras Pesach Eino Krev. So whereas Rav Yossi HaGlili will derive the halachas of Tmuras Pesach, Tmuras Maisa Eino Krevim from the miut in the parasha of Bechor, because there it says Kodesh Heim, and Kodesh Heim is coming to exclude Tmura, and that pasuk, according to Rabbi Shmuel, since it's in the plural, it says Chalbam and Domam, it's referring not just to Bechor, but also to Maser and Pesach. And now we can derive, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, the halacha that there's no din karban as far as kreval gabi mizbeach in the case of tmuras bechor and tmuras pesach. I'm sorry, in tmuras mas and tmuras pesach, and that's derived from Kodesh Heim. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel, who says that pasuk in bechor is only exclusively referring to bechor, therefore he cannot use Kodesh Heim as a miut of Ein Tmurasim Kodesh in the cases of Maser and Pesach. And the answer is that Rabbi Shmuel is going to derive the din of Ein Tmuras Maser Nikra from a Hekesh from a Gzereshav of Avor Avor to Bechor. He's going to derive that in Korban Pesach there's no din of Kreva in the case of what? Of Tmuras Pesach, from the fact that in the parsha of Pesach it says Zeva Pesach Hu Lashem, and the extra word Hu comes to exclude Tmura. At this point, the Gemara goes back to the original drasha of Dam Zvachech Yishofech. The Gemara wants to derive from the pasuk of Dam Zvachech Yishofech, and specifically from the absence of the word Saviv, that one matana for the korban is kosher. In other words, even though you need Zrikas Adam, multiple Zrikos, for example, the case of Chatas, you need four Zrikos and all four Kronos on Mizbeach. In other Korbanos, you need two Zrikos on two kitty corners, so to speak, of the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, once there was a Zrik of one Karen, on one Zrika, that's enough to be Machsha the Korban, even if he omits the second Zrika, or in the case of Chatas, if he omits the last three Zrikos. So the Gemara asks, well, that was derived from the pasuk v'dam zvachecha yishofech. But kol ani tnai tanoi, all the tanoim that we've discussed, the mafki le'lahai, dam zvachecha yishofech, josh akrida, they derive different things from dam zvachecha yishofech. For example, some derive that a korban pesach needs shficha. Others derive that a carbon that's given to Nesinas of Zrika, if you did Shricha, you were Yotze B'dieved. All the various different drushes for this pasuk is high kol ani tonim on Zbeach Achitzon shenesorim matonachas shekiper min nolahu. How do these tanoim derive? What's the source for the halacha that one maton is enough to generate a kaporas hakarbon? And again, keep in mind, we're talking about all the korbanos minus just a few that are brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. There we're going to have a whole different set of rules and regulations. But we're talking about the bulk of korbanos which are brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. How do we know that one matana is enough to generate and clinch the kapara? And the Gemara answers, Savri lehu kibes hillel. Because those tanoim have to accept the sheet of Beis Hillel at the beginning of our perek. The Amri who hold that af chata shenesona matona achas kiper, Beis Hillel has a derivation from which one nesina in the case of chatos is enough to be mechaper, v'yalfi kulu chatos, mechatos. He can derive all the karbonos from chatos. That if in chatos, where the Torah requires four nesinos, yet one nesina is enough to clinch the kaparas karbon, how much more so in the case of other karbonos, which only require two nesinos, they would be kosher with one matan damim. That's what the Gemara says now. So now we begin a new sugya. And this sugya is going to be a long sugya with many, many drushes. And it touches on a machlokas, which is famous, which is called Yesh Eim La Mikra or Yesh Eim La Mesora. The Mesora teaches me how the pasuk has to be written in the Chumash. And the Mikra is how it should be read. So there's a discrepancy between the way the word is written in the Torah, that's called Mesorah, and the way it's read, which is called Mikra. And we're going to have a fundamental machlokas as to where is the primary halacha, when we derive and interpret these psukim that have these double meanings, which meaning is critical, is primary. One man the other is going to say it depends on how you read the pasuk, not the way it's written, but the way you read it. That's called the Yesh Eim Le Mikra. And the other man the other says Yesh Eim Le Mesorah, which means the way it's written. Because again, Moshe Rabbeinu received a double tradition. He had the tradition of the Sefer Torah itself, the way it's written. That's called Yesh Eim Le Mesorah. But he also received an oral tradition as to how to read those psukim. And the Gemara now is going to embark upon a whole bunch of cases in the Torah where you have this discrepancy between Mikra and Mesorah. So first we're going to start with our Mishnah here in Zvachim. The Mishnah records Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. According to Beit Shammai, you need two matanos, minimum, to be Machshir Karvan Chatos. Whereas Beis Hillel say one is enough. And the Gemara says the machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai revolves around this issue of Yesh Eim Le Mesorah or Yesh Eim Le Mikra. Amar Rav Huna, my time in the Beit Shammai, what compels Beit Shammai to assume that a chatos would not be kshera unless you did at least minimum two matanos? And the Gemara says because you derive the number of matanos in the case of chatos from three different parashiyos in the Torah, which address the case of chatos. And again, when we talk about chatos now, we're talking about chatos chitzona, which is brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And in three different parashios, the Torah speaks about the corners of the Mizbeach as karnos, karnos, karnos. Okay, now, karnos is the way we read it. That's called Yesh Eim Le Mikra. Whereas the way it's written chronos without the vav. It's written chaser vav. Now Beit Shammai derives halachas from the mikra, not from the way it's written, the mesorah of how it's written, which would be without the vav, but the way we have a mesorah as to how it's read. And it's not read as karnas or karnos, but rather kranos, as if the vav were there, which means we're going to take a word that technically is written in the Torah in singular, and we're going to read it in plural. Now we have three times it says kranos, and a plural word has a minimum of two, so since it said three times two is six, harei kan shesh. Now that's odd. Okay, I'm just asking a pedagogical question. Does anybody know that we have to do six matanos in the case of chatos? And now that there are only four kronos, how could it be six? So the Braisa says the following, that since the Mizbeach only has four kronos, then we're going to darshan arba lemitzvah ushtayim liakev. So we're going to take the number six and break it into two groups, into two numbers. It's going to be four and two. The two, the number two, represents what is absolutely likuva, meaning it's indispensable. You need a minimum, according to Beit Shammai, of two zrikos. The number four here is indicative of le mitzvah, that if you want to do the mitzvah properly, then you're going to be putting the dam on four kronos of the mizbeach. Now we're going to introduce Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is not going to say yesh em la mikra, but rather yesh em la mesorah. And the reason for Beis Hillel, who says that if one maton is enough in chatas, not the way Beit Shammai says you need a minimum of two, is because the pasuk itself, and that's the tradition that we have, that the Sefer Torah has to be written karnos, karnos, without a vav. And that's called Lashon Yachid. Now the tuf, don't be thrown off by the tuf at the end of the word, that's just for smichus. It's karnos ha-mizbeach, but it really means the keren of the mizbeach. And that would seem to imply, if you have it in singular, one matana. Now, the third time that the word kronos appears, it appears with a vav in the written Torah, in the Mesorah. And a vav indicates Lashon Rabbim, which would mean shtei matanos. So we now have a total of four matanos. Why? Because the two karnos that are written chaser only will give me two matanos. But the karnos that once it says malei, which is Lashon Rabbim here in this case, you need two matanos. You have one, and two, total four, harekan arba. Now Rabbi Beis Hillel goes a step further, and he says, sholosh lemitzvah v'achas le'akev. We're going to take that over four, and we're going to break it down into two groups. It's one group which is made up of three matanos, that's called lemitzvah, and it's a group that has only one member in it, and that's li'kuva. That's the single matana that's absolutely critical. You can't do without it. So how do you see that in the pasuk? I mean, we've derived from this pasuk that you need four matanas, but how do you know you break it down into three, which are lemitzvah, and one which is likuva? The ema kula lemitzvah. Maybe we should say that all four matanas are just a mitzvah, and the Torah requires of it, if you embellish the mitzvah and do it properly. And the reason for this is the Gemara is saying that if you leave out all four matanos in this Hava Mina, then b'dieved the carbon is kosher, the chatas is kshera. That's a pella. That the chatas could be kshera without any maton at all. Okay, we'll try to deal with that as we go along. But be that as it may, the Gemara is now saying that the whole endeavor, the whole enterprise of Zrikas on the Zrikas Adam in the case of Chatas on four Kronos of Mizbeach is all just a lechatchila, it's all a mitzvah. Now, why would we say such a thing? So the reason for that is in Kodshim, we have a principle called Shina Lov Akosiv Liakev, which means that if the Torah only tells you it once, that's le mitzvah lechatchila. If the Torah repeats itself, then it means that it's critical and it's indispensable. That's called Shana Lov Akosiv Liakev. Now here the Torah says Kronos, 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 which tells me that you need four Zrikos, but since the Torah didn't repeat itself, so we don't have Shana Lov Akosiv Liakev, maybe this is just the mitzvah. So first of all, the Gemara rejects this idea that all four could be the mitzvah. Because then what you're saying is that you could have absolutely no, not even one single matana. Gemara says, Kampara bichdi lo ashkechat. Every carbon is coming to mechaper, certainly a carbon chatos. And we don't give out a kapara just, carte blanche, you know, as a gift. You gotta be zorik the dam. And the Gemara's language is Kampara bichdi. Bichdi means without any zrikas adam. Lo ashkechan, we don't find anywhere. So therefore, lechora, we need a minimum of chach of one matana. So the Gemara offers an answer to this question. In fact, two answers to this question. Ebay said, I could answer Hainu time in the Beis Hillel. What's the reason, according to Beis Hillel, that one matana is makeves? And the answer is that if we have a stira, we have a contradiction between what we say the mashmos of the mikra, which is called which is called Yesh Eim LeMikra, or the Mashmos of the Mesorah, the way it's written, which is called Yesh Eim LeMesorah. So they still say that we have to do both. We have to somehow darshan and derive both of them, both the Mikra and the Mesorah. How does that pan out? Ahani Mikra, we're going to use the Mikra the way via Ahani Mesorah. Ahani Mikra L'tfuye Chada. The Mikra here, being the way it's read, you read it as Kranos in plural, that's coming to add one. The Ahani Mesores, but the Mesores that says you read it without the it's written, excuse me, without the Vav. Levatsure Chada, because then it's in singular, and it's coming to subtract one. So what do we do in this case? We say that really, based on the Mikra, we add one. So we jack it up from four Matanos to five Matanos. But on the other hand, we have the Mesorah, which is in the singular, and if we have to drop one of them. So what do we do over here? So we say is the following, that four are written lemitzvah, but one is absolutely ma'akev. So I have here a footnote in which he tries to explain the mechanics here. He says, Masha matona achas ma'keves eno machmas ha'svara, Shalom atzinu kapara b'li damim, Ela mishum dahani mikra v'ahani mesora. V'nimtza, din izdamnu kan chamesh kronos, v'im kein tzorch shi'iten osa matona ala keren dafka. V'zeu ahevdil men shnei atirutzim. So honestly, I'm not sure I understand this perfectly. We'll do the best we can with the tools we have. And we're going to assume that Ahani Mikra v'Ahani Mesorah is going to, on the one hand, add a fifth matana, and the other hand, subtract the matana. So what does that mean? So we're going to go back to our original svara that there are a maximum four matanos, because there are only four kronos. You remember that svara? And what does it mean that we jack up one? So the answer is that fifth matana, which is really one of the four, because there are only four, is that one which is absolutely indispensable. So when we say that we drop one of them, what we're saying is that there are four that are a mitzvah, but when we add one, we're saying that one of those four is li'ikuvah. It's absolutely critical and we can't do without it. The Gemara is not happy with this. Elamei'ata, according to you and your defense for Beis Hillel, that when there's a stira, when there's a contradiction between the Mikra and the Mesorah, then we have to darshan both of these. And now the Gemara is going to embark upon a survey of all cases in the Torah where there's a discrepancy between the written word and the read word, the word as you read it. And the first example is going to be from the mitzvah Tfilin Shel Rosh. Tfilin Shel Rosh require four parshiyos that are placed into four batim. And we derive this from the fact that three times in the Torah it says l'totofos, l'totofos, l'totofos. Twice it's written without the vav. And that's called Lashon Yochid, which implies that all you need is one bias with one parsha. And pam, but another one single time it's written l'totofos with a vav. And therefore it's Lashon Rabim, which would imply two batim and two parshios. So what do we do in this case? We have totafos in singular twice, that gives me two batim, or two parshios. And then we have totafos in plural once, that gives me another two parshios. Hare kan arba. So we have four batim. However, in the case of Yesh Eim LeMikra, the way we read these three words, it's all identically the same. Even if the Vav is not written in the Torah, in the Mesorah, but nevertheless the Mikra is to read it as Totafos in plural. And if that be the case, we have now a contradiction between Yesh Eim LeMesorah and Yesh Eim LeMikra. Because if you hold Yesh Eim LeMikra, then each one of these totafos is really plural, which means if the Torah repeats itself three times, how many batim are you going to need for tefillin? You'll need six. You following me? Two, two, and two. But on the other hand, if you say Yesh Eim L'Misora, so all you need is four batim. So now we have a discrepancy. So what do we do in that case? We apply the principle of Basil of Ahani Kro, of Ahani Misoras, that we basically do, we need both. And if we need both, then one adds and one subtracts. So the addition is going to take us from four to six. The subtraction is going to take us down one, and we're down to five. Well, what do we do with the number five? We say Hamisha Batim Boile Mevad. He's got to make five batim. Well, we don't know that tefillin requires five batim. So the Gemara says Sovrlo Rabbi Akiva Diomar Tat Bekasvi Shtayim. Pas biafriki shtayim. That if we take the word totofos and we break it down into two parts, the first part of which, says Rabbi Akiva, is tat. Tat is the name of a place somewhere on the face of the earth. Bekasve. Bekasve means a place on the earth, and it refers to shtayim. And then it says, Tota Fos is Fas Biafriki. Fas is the name of a place in Africa. And that gives me Shtayim. So basically, when we have the word Totofos, so we break it into two parts, each part of which gives me two parshios, and Sachakol we need four parshios. So again, if we were only juggling the discrepancy between Totofos as it's read and Totofos as it's written, then we would require five batim. But Basil accepts the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that from the word Totofos itself we derive the four batim. Now we're going to go to another case where there's a discrepancy between Mikra and Misora. And that's the case of Defanos of Sukkah. How many Defanos do we need to make a Sukkah Kshera? So the Torah repeats three times the word basukos. Basukos, basukos, basukos. Three times it says it. One time it says in Parashas Emor, basukos teshu shivas yom kol ezrach v'yisrael yeshu basukos. Then we have a little bit earlier in Parashas Emor, it says, l'man yedidor asech v'ki basukos ashaftis v'yisrael ba'otzio samei eretz mitzrayim. So we have in the first pasuk that we mentioned twice it says sukkos, and the third pasuk, in the second pasuk it says once. So all in all, the word basukos appears three times. Now twice it appears without a vav, and once it appears with a vav. And yet we read it all basukos. So now we have a real discrepancy as to what a sukkah should look like. If you take the what we call the Eim Lamisora, and now we have twice that it's written without a vav, and once that's written with a vav. So that would give me a total of two, three, four. That would give me four defanos. Right? Let me just read this. He says that Mashmashtayim. He says that when it says Sukkos with a Vav, which is plural, one of the three times it says in plural, that's Mashma two Defanos. We have the other two Basukos, each one is in Lashon Yochid, which implies another Dofen. It's therefore, according to the Misora, we should derive the conclusion that you need four Defanos. Now we know that a Sukkah does not require four Defanos. So we're going to have to say the following, that although we're talking about the Misora, but nevertheless, the Misora is singular in two out of three times, but the Mikra, meaning the way it's read, it's as if it says Vav on all three occasions. Because we read it as if there was a Vav there. So therefore, if you go with the way we read it, as if there is a Vav, then we need six Tefanos. On the other hand, if you read it the way it's written in the Torah, which is called Yeshem LeMesorah, then you end up with four Tefanos. So what will it be? Will it be Yeshem LeMikra, and therefore it's six Tefanos? Yeshem LeMesorah be four Tefanos. So in such a case where there's a discrepancy between the Mikra and the Mesorah, we apply the principle of Beis Hillel, Ahani Mikra v'Ahani Mesoras. So the Mikra in this case, the way we read it, is going to help us add. And therefore the singular becomes plural, we jack it up to six. But Ahani Mesoras, which has the Vav absent in two out of three cases, is going to reduce that number by one. So if you reduce the number six by one, then what are you left with? Five, correct? The Chamsha Dafnasa Boy Lemevad. He's going to have to set up five Tefanos. Again, I don't understand. I mean, the purpose of the Tefanos is to surround the Sukkah. You've already surrounded it with four Tefanos. Why do you need a fifth? And apparently, again, there's some sort of din and dofen in and of itself, in the etzema dofen, that has nothing to do with, you know, covering and encircling and encompassing the sukkah. And if you're talking about a din in the tefanos, you're going to need five tefanos. So how is Beis Hillel going to sustain this principle called a hani kro and a hani mesoras? So here we're going to take a look at Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara answers, Hosam, over there in the case of Sukkah, Chad Kra Kule Legufe. The Pasuk is needed for the entire Pasuk, the entire mitzvah of Sukkah. And therefore one of those three Psukim, actually it's one of those two Psukim, I should say, because we only came up with two Psukim, but it says Sukkah three times. So one of those two Psukim is necessary, what we call legufe, meaning to tell us the basic din and the mitzvah and the chiyuv of sukkah. And then we have an extra pasuk which is superfluous, which is unnecessary. Chado l'schacha. That extra pasuk sukkahs is going to tell me that the sukkah requires a schach. So it comes out therefore that we need all the cases that it says besukkas in the Torah, right, three times it says besukkas, we're going to derive the halacha that you need three defanos. Asoi hilchasa. But we need what's called the halacha l'moshe v'sina, v'gar'ata l'shlishis v'okimta atefach, which means that we're going to reduce the third dofen, and we're going to say that the third dofen only needs one tefach. So let's just reiterate the Gemara's final answer about sukkahs. We came up to the ridiculous conclusion that sukkahs requires five tefanos, right? So the Gemara is rejecting that and saying the following: that one pasuk is going to teach me the mitzvah itself, so you can't use it for a drasha. Now we have another pasuk that's going to teach me that you require schach. And once we do that, we're left with three psukim of basukos. That's all we're left with. Okay, so let's see if we can shed a little bit of light on this. He says the following. The Gemara wants to require five defanos, okay, and that's what we said are dinner defanos. Now, the Torah says basukas teishu shivas yamim, kol ezach b'yisrael yeshu b'sukos l'man yedu dorasek kibesukas hashavtis b'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara says now chad kra legufe, to teach me the din of mitzvah sukkah. Okay. And then we have chad kra l'schacha. that we need for the schach. So what does Gemara mean now when it says that we're left with three psukim? What am I missing here? Just one second. So if on the tzad of Yesh Emlim Mikra, so we have three times, it says sukkos in plural, and that means six. But the Emlim Esoros is going to reduce it down to five. So we have five. And now you might say that if we have five, then we should require five to find us. So the Gemara answer is no. We need one of those five for the mitzvah of sukkah. We need another one of those five to teach me the din of schach. Then you're left with three. And that's going to teach me that you need three defanos. Now, if you need three defanos, pashas means you need three full defanos. And here we're going to introduce the halacha of Moshe Sinai that's going to reduce the requirement in the third dofin down to a tefach. So you need really two defanos and a tefach. Elameata, now we want to look at the parsha of Yoledes, specifically in the case where a woman gives birth to a baby girl. And the Torah says in Vayikra Yudbeis, V'im nekeva seled v'tam'a shvu'ayim. Okay, so since it says shvu'ayim without a vav, okay, that's as far as the Mesorah is concerned. It means between the beis and the ayin, we drop the vav. Again, in the Mesorah, is therefore it seems like it's Shivim, which means 70 days. Now, let's take a look at the way we read it. We don't read it as Shivim, but we read it as Shvuayim, and therefore it's going to be. 2 weeks, which is 14 days. So it's very interesting. We have the number 70, we have the number 14. Ahani kra, mahani mesoris. Now, according to Beis Hillel, we apply the principle, if there's a discrepancy between the mesoris and the mikra, that we derive halachas from both of them. So if we're taking a look at the kriya, then we're going to have to reduce the number, because Shvuayim is less than Shivim. But on the other hand, Ahani Mesoros, if we look at the way it's written in the Torah, without the Vav, then it's requiring 70. So what do we do in such a case? The Gemara says, Arboim Utrein Ba'il Amesef. He should require, the Torah seemingly require that she sits on what's called Yemei Tumah. Right, because we're talking about Yemei, right, every Yoledes has Yemei Tumah, that follows, and what follows is Yemei Taru. Now we're focused on V'tumah Shvuayim, which means that there are 14 days of Tumah. But since we have the Mesorah, and the Mesorah says Shivim, which is 70, so we have a battle here between the Mesorah and the Mikra. What we're going to do is, we're going to split it in half. Now, what does it mean when we split it in half? The Gemara comes out with the number 42. Now, how do you get 42? I'm assuming that if you take the number 70 and you split it in half, then you're going to end up with 35. If you add 7, then you end up with 72. You want to read to me what he says here?
Okay.
He gets up to the number 56. How does he get the number 56? The Mesorah here was Shivim. So how does he get 56? If you subtract 56 from 70, you're left with 14, am I right?
Yes.
So he is subtracting 14 from the number 70. Sharei b'mashmos ha-mesorahu yoseh b'mashmos ha-mikra b'chamishim v'shisha yomim. The discrepancy between the Mesorah, which has 70, and the Mikra, which has 14, because you read Shvuayim, you read Shivim and Shvuayim, So if you subtract the two numbers, you end up with the number 56. So now let's split the number 56 down the middle. Half of 56 is 28. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now how do we get from 28 to 42? So he says... Yeah, go ahead.
42 days, which is the halfway point between 14 and 70 days.
Is what? Is 28?
No, 42.
So say 20, again, 42 is halfway 42 between
42
what?
42 plus 28... 14 plus 28 is 42.
Ah, so the Yesh HaMesores now is going to add... is going to add half of the discrepancy. The discrepancy was 56. Half of 56 is 28.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
So now, if you add the 28 to the 14, which is the Mikra, then you end up with what? 42. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So now we're in deep trouble, because we never found that a woman needs 42 days after she gives birth to a girl of Yemei Tumah. So Gemara answers, Shiny Hussam, the case of Tumas Yoledes is different. Why? Dichsiv, because it says, Vitam Ash Vu'aim Kinidasa. The Torah added the word Kinidasa, which is coming to tell you that the Yemei Tumas Leda are coming close to the Yemei Tumas Nida. Now, if you read it as Shvu'aim, then that's very similar to the Tumas Nida, to the days of a Tumas Nida, because a Nida needs 1 week. The Oledes now needs 2 weeks. If you're going to say that, if you're going to read it based on the Masorah, the way it's written, which is Shiv Im, then that's way, way out of the ballpark. It's not at all similar. It doesn't even come close to the days of Tumas Nida. Okay, the next Gemara again is going to go on to some sort of discrepancy, and it's going to bring an alternative source for Beis Hillel to derive in the case of Chatos that one Matana is Kshera, and that's enough. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much.